Have you ever witnessed something you couldn't quite comprehend? What would you do if a moment of joy turned into absolute terror? And have you ever experienced bone-chilling dread? Today, we test the believability of my Skinwalker experience.
Welcome to Believe in the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. Episode 100. One honey. We're here. It's crazy. It actually is crazy.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's I don't know what else to say. Yeah. It's crazy.
And this is perfect because we've had multiple people shout out Georgie for sure. That was like, I want to hear your story that you allude to. And I've always kind of pushed it back because I thought, like, once I say it, it's done. It's how I feel about a lot of our topics, actually. It's kind of like, once you do it, it's done.
I also feel self-indulgent, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you guys don't want to hear about me.
I guess you do, though.
I got some extra stuff. It's like our Patreon launch. I'm not going to just give you nothing. The Baker Mayfield stuff was probably the most self-indulgent I've ever been. But I'll frame it, but this kind of fell in our lap because I think it's like, you know, when you get to 100 episodes, you're supposed to like do something.
I was just glad the pressure wasn't on me to figure out something to do.
Yeah. I think it was like episode like 90 when it got to that point. And I was just like, you know what? If it's me like going every other week, I'm just going to tell the story then. And it worked out. So this is what's going to happen. I'm going to tell my story, my potential, I'd say potential. Because you never know.
Confirmed anything. We don't know.
I didn't find this thing again and say, excuse me, dear entity, what are you?
How would you label yourself?
Yeah, exactly. Who am I to put labels on this thing? Because for a long time afterwards, I didn't know what it was. And I still don't know. It was just reading about skinwalkers is a big part why I just started connecting dots. I could be very, very wrong. It just now makes the most sense to me, and it's kind of made it so that skinwalkers are, it's not a thing to like. Like, skinwalkers isn't something you like.
Yeah.
But in my defense, it's like true crime. Like, everybody loves true crime, but at the same time, you're saying you like murder and mysteries, you know what I mean?
You could say it's a fascination.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by skinwalkers. I don't think they're cool, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're cool, but I'm fascinated by skinwalkers, the same way many people are fascinated by true crime and killers and in our Discord Pokemon. So two things. So I'm going to tell my story. And like I promised, I think it was episode 55 episodes ago. More like that Skinwalkers episode was closer to our first episode than it is to this one.
Wow. That feels like the fact like that T-Rex are closer to humans than they were to like Stegosaurus.
That's like that 70s show was closer to the 70s now than us.
Yeah.
Or, well, I'm not going to give you my San Andreas one. But anyway, so I'm going, like, I promise on that episode, I actually have more Skinwalker encounters. So it's going to be my experience, and then I have a couple more. And then maybe at the end, Charlie and I might reflect on 100 episodes. We'll see. Talk about some stuff.
Because it is. We'll link arms and toast champagne.
Yes, exactly. But I do want to say this now, actually. We are doing a 100 episode giveaway.
Sweet. Awesome.
We are giving away one of our neon logo shirts. It's open to anywhere in the world, even Antarctica, even Alaska, even though some of y'all don't like us there.
There's like six people in Antarctica. If one of them win it, I'd be very happy.
Yes, the shipping rates are probably insane.
I'd imagine.
But if you want to have a chance to win this 100 episode neon shirt, head over to our Instagram and everything's on there. You have until Saturday, as of the dropping of this episode. So Saturday the 19th. This is time sensitive. So if you're listening on Tuesday, you have like almost a full week. If you catch it on Friday, you better be jumping Instagram.
If you're listening on the 20th.
Yes.
Woe be to you.
Exactly. Sorry. You missed out. But you get to listen to this episode. Yes. So you head to Instagram if you're interested in that. We'll probably mention it again before the end of the episode. But just want to throw that up front. But enough chit-chat. Are you ready to get into this potential Skinwalker experience?
I've been there, but let's go again.
Okay, so this is the scariest thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Ever. And I'm so excited to hear what music and sound effects you put with this.
I'm excited to figure that out.
Yes. So I'll give the groundwork. It was me, and it was one of my best friends, Ethan. We were in my Jeep Wrangler. It was late spring, early summer of 2013, and we were in North Kingsville, Ohio. Now, if anybody actually knows where North Kingsville, Ohio is, then that's awesome, and that's kind of amazing, and hit us up in the DMs. But for everybody else, it's like the most absolute Northeast Ohio, and it is like right on the lake.
Yeah.
Right on Lake Erie. Like, you could pick up a rock, and you don't need a Major League Baseball arm to throw it.
Yeah, Ethan lived very close to the lake.
Exactly, and this actually took place like a minute from his house, like 5 minutes walking from his house. And the mood was really good. Like, me and him were always known to go out, get like some stupid fast food like Taco Bell, because that's all we really had. You had like McDonald's 20 minutes from my house, and then you had like a Taco Bell like 25 minutes from my house. That's just a description of my life growing up. There's a yeah, Walmart, a yeah. Steak and Shake is not much.
And it's not a lot in Ashtabula, though,
to be that's honest. What I mean.
Yeah.
The Walmart was in Ashtabula.
Yeah,
exactly. But you guys aren't here for a lesson about Northeast Ohio. But, you know, we would go out late. We would just, you know, eat some Taco Bell and just talk about life and, you know, our goals and our dreams. And he's a musician. He's very talented. And we would be like, oh, you're going to be doing this and I'm going to be doing that and all that stuff. But it was always very joyful and very introspective. So we're driving back, and it's probably, well, it's about 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Not quite yet, but it's close.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. It has to be. Not, and I didn't register in the moment. It was something I noticed later. But we're driving on a street called Lake Road, which makes sense because you're right by the lake. Mm-hmm. It's a two-lane road. It's very windy, and it's very rural. Now, there's houses on it, but it's mostly like house, trees, 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 house, trees, trees, house, trees.
Yeah, like big, like almost acre lots, right?
Yeah, they're big. They're big, yeah. No street lights, really. Well, seldom street lights. I'm driving my Jeep Wrangler. We just had Taco Bell. We're having a good time. And I very vividly remember that we were singing Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. And it wasn't the words. It was like the violin part. Like, we were singing the violins. And as I'm driving and I see something in my headlights, and I start braking, and I see that it's a dead possum in the middle of the road. And as you guys know, a vegetarian, I don't eat meat. I love animals. I wasn't a vegetarian then, but like, it makes me sad. I'm like, oh man, I hate seeing roadkill on the road. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh man, that sucks. And then I go around it. We keep driving. And probably about 30 seconds later, we see two dead possums, like right next to each other in the side of the road or the middle of the road. And so I have to brake again. This is a 45 miles per hour road, and I'm driving a Wrangler, so I'm not going 1 mile per hour over 45 because I can't afford that gas. Even in 2013, that thing's like 16 miles to the gallon. So, but we don't let it affect us. You know, it's just roadkill, especially out in rural areas. That's what you see. But I remember thinking it was strange. I was like, wow, one was right there. And then I'm like, what? Like, did somebody just fly through here and hit all three of these possums? But again, we're in good spirits. We're singing the music to Goo Goo Dolls, whatever. So once again, I move around and we keep driving, and I'm going to drop him off. That is my intention. I'm going to his house to drop him off, and I'm driving. And this is something we noticed after the fact when we kind of thought about it, because, you know, we live there. Like, he lived, for you Dave Matthews fans out there, he is one the song that Jane likes from me, which is about 4 minutes. And I actually timed it because we live so close together that I'd be like, what song is like the exact length between, like, if I start the song when I leave my driveway, by the time I get to his house, you know, like, what song is it perfect? I've lived by him a long time, so we've had a lot of trial and error.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's close. Like, everything about this is very, very close to us. We're not off in the wilderness or somewhere. Like, it feels like this is happening in my territory. This is my home, my land. This is, I don't like this. But anyway, we noticed, because we used to drive by there so many times before, it felt extra dark. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. There were no extra street lights, no lack of street lights, no moon, nothing was different. Every time I've ever driven past that spot, and maybe this is recent, you know, this is bias or whatever, it's never been as dark as it looked or felt in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. So we're driving, it's dark, my headlights are out. And I'm looking on the left, and I see something kind of coming at us on the left, like other side of the road coming at us in the grassy area. And it's not that high off the ground. It's like maybe 2 feet off the ground. And my initial instinct is this is a cat or a small deer. Like, it had almost a prance to it. And it was on all fours. And I'm like, okay, this is... And in my mind, I've already literally had to stop my Jeep twice. Dead possum, stop. Two dead possums, stop. So I'm not like speeding or caught off guard. I'm probably not even going 45 here. And so I start braking the car. We're still singing, having a good time. And that's when this thing in front of us darts to its left. So it starts crossing in front of us. And it is just a mishmash of things that I see that like my brain cannot comprehend. Like it's hard to explain when you have nothing to really compare it to, but I'm going to try. First of all, it was on all fours, but it wasn't like a cat. It wasn't like a deer. It wasn't like a normal animal. The way that it moved across the road was like the fastest I've ever seen anything go. And I've never been in like a safari where like a jaguar or something, like I've never seen anything like that. But in this moment, faster than anything I've ever seen. Just complete opaque. Like, it wasn't black. It was like, instead of being black, it was like the lack of light. It was just a shade. And the entire time it was moving, what struck me the most were its shoulder blades. Because it was like something was crawling on all fours that was not intended to be crawling on all fours. Like, the way the shoulder blades and the shoulders moved as it was going across very quickly the road, it just was disturbing. Like, there was no better word than disturbing. And its head was cocked to the right. So while it's sprinting in a very irregular pattern across this street, it's staring down. Maybe you could argue it was staring down the Jeep, but to Ethan and I, it legitimately felt like it was staring down us. Like, it literally felt like its eyes, which were yellow, bright yellow eyes, were staring down us. And it flashed across us in probably like a second and a half. And I just remember braking my car. And I don't remember if we turned off the music. I don't know if the music was still playing. I have no memory of that. We just both sat there in silence for what felt like 10 minutes. It might not have been that long. It might have been 30 seconds. And we didn't say anything. We didn't say, the hell was that? We didn't say, did you see that? There was no question. But we looked at each other. I looked over to my right. He looked at me. And we were both on the verge of tears without saying anything. We didn't, like, it was, there was no bias where one of us said, that was scary, wasn't it? Oh, and then I have a stimulus to that response, and therefore I'm scared. It was without any verbal communication, based purely on what we saw and what we felt, based on what we saw. It filled both of us with so much dread that we were literally about to start crying without saying a word to each other. And I slowly, it went off to a clearing. There was just like a little bit of a clearing where it went off across the road. So I slowly moved my Jeep up and looked. And I kid you not, I could, you know what, on Instagram, I might post like an overhead view of this because it is true. It ran into this tiny, 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 I don't know why it exists, graveyard. There's like 6 or 9 graves in there. It's just a few graves. Some of them are like fallen over.
It's probably a family grave.
Probably for the area.
Yeah.
And at this point, we're like literally a minute from his house. And so he speaks finally and he's like, can you pass my house? Can't drop me off here. So we drive up a little bit up to like the next intersection, which where I'm from, that's like 5 minutes. And that's when I look at the clock and it's like 3:06. So I didn't know at the time it was 3 o'clock or around 3 o'clock or even when we were singing. You know, there was no reason to pay attention. It was summer. There was no school, no work. You just... living. But it was when we were turning, I looked and I saw it was like 3:06 a.m. and I'm like, oh my god. And he's, as much as I'm into conspiracies and as much as I'm into like creatures and stuff like that, he is like way more into it. Maybe not as much then in 2013 as he is now. Like, he shares with me Bigfoot videos all the time. Actually, when I talked about Bigfoot, I think during the Honey Island Swamp,
yeah.
When I said there was that video where that guy, like, he was looking for Bigfoot and he had the video behind him and you saw Bigfoot in the trees. That was Ethan that sent me that. But he's also much more religious than me. And he said he was going to pray for me that night. And that was actually very, very peaceful in that time.
Every time I hear that story, my heart rate elevates. Like, I can feel it pulsing right now on the table.
It's not even like, and you know, what's crazy and what really sucks is I've told this story so many times and now it's been about like 9 years since it happened. I probably remember the story more than the genuine experience, which sucks. And I'm being transparent with that. Now, there's definitely certain things, the shoulder blades, where it happened, when it happened, the yellow eyes, like there's certain things I know for a fact are guaranteed, but there's always like that fear in my mind that it's like, it's becoming more than what it was or different than what it was. But the only thing
I will say this, you haven't changed your story since it happened.
Well, that's good. The only thing I can't oversell or undersell is the dread. Like I've never, like ever, you feel dread accordingly sometimes, you know what I mean? And I started thinking about it. I'm like, maybe I was just startled. But the fact that I already saw two roadkill and I already had to, like, I already had to brake my Jeep twice. It wasn't like you're going 60 on a back road and you're singing and all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, I got to slam on the brakes. Like,
yeah, no, you're prepared for this.
Technically, I was. Our first thought was actually alien because we weren't as savvy with cryptids then. And so he thought maybe we saw an alien and that, you know, it just.
Well, it was so strange and unusual apart from what you are used to.
It just didn't seem human. Like it, like what we saw, what I witnessed, it didn't seem human. And beyond that, there's no legitimate reason for me seeing anything crossing the road. Me not, because it's the bias too. It's like, wow, that was creepy, wasn't it? That influences me. Mm-hmm. That would influence you. Because then all of a sudden your mind starts thinking about scary things and creepy things. And in that moment, you're like, oh my God, wait, was that scary? Wow, you know what? Now that you say that, that was kind of scary. I'm scared now. Like when there was no verbal communication, like the only stimuli, the only thing that we both witnessed was that thing crossing the road. And we both had the same exact shared experience of absolute terror.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big things when I started looking up skinwalkers, unrelated. Like this wasn't like maybe skinwalkers is the answer to what I saw. It was at a later time because I just like paranormal stuff. I started looking up skinwalkers and it was like sometimes they walk strange because they're like different forms depending on the animal. Like it could have taken on the form of a fox or something, but it was like not a right fox or you know, like kind of like we joke about the knock deer.
Yeah,
but it was something about it was off. They just give off that kind of existential dread when they're around. I wasn't outside, so I couldn't say how it smelled.
I was gonna ask you, this was late spring, early summer.
Yeah,
was your top off?
No,
not your top.
No, the Jeep Wrangler.
Yes.
No, I didn't take the Jeep Wrangler. Because we're so far up north,
yeah,
it typically would be like June. This feels like an April, May thing to me, if I remember correctly. It was like not that, like we might have still been in college. I was just home for that period. Like, I don't know if it was like summer break or like a couple weeks of class left and I was just visiting home.
Were you at Timbertop?
No. We lived together. It was our apartment.
Oh.
This is 2013. So the more I research skinwalkers, and they're not really of this area. Like, I'll be honest, like, this is like Northeast Ohio isn't known for skinwalkers. So I could totally be very, very wrong. I don't want to go into this because this isn't my theory. Ethan, I know he thought that some weird stuff was happening in the area. I don't want to get too far into it because I don't want to put words in his mouth. But he thought there was some strange things happening in that part of the area. So maybe that could have like drawn something like an evil presence.
Yeah, like a calling.
Yeah, but it wasn't something unusual. It felt evil, if that makes sense. It didn't feel like a neutral entity to me.
Right.
Like, similar to our graveyard story where we were being chased out by something, it was like that, where it's like, this doesn't feel like not just something bizarre or paranormal, you know, when you see a ghost, but you don't have a feeling attached to it. It's just, wow, that's something I didn't expect to see. It's like the feeling outweighed everything else. And also, I've kind of come to terms that there's a potential chance that my brain repressed some of what I saw.
That could be. Maybe you saw more than what you think you saw.
For sure. That's 100% possible. I mean, the brain is not every brain. The brain is trying to help you exist and help you exist in a way that prolongs your life. So if there's something that it thinks might wreck you, it's going to repress it. That's kind of, you know, it tries to do at least. So I've never gone to like a hypnotherapy or anything to try and do that. I don't think I would. But since you guys now have all heard this story, if you think it's something completely different, let me know, because I'm not gonna be like no, it was a skinwalker. Totally open to ideas and suggestions on what it might have been, and I'll totally look into it. I'll probably do an episode on it, unless we already have. But an interesting thing that came of this, which I actually really enjoyed, for it was like one of the fun things about 2014, is we actually started playing a game, which I was always worried, like, there's gonna be a day and age that I'm too old to play this game, but I haven't played it since 2014. But me and him would walk late at night from my house to that graveyard. and we would just talk.
I don't know how you would do
we
that.
We would just talk about anything happening in life, but because he doesn't like being seen at night. So we would dodge cars. That was kind of like his game. My game was, I just like being out at night and looking at stars and talking with friends. His was, oh, when a car comes, we have to hide in people's yards.
I don't know how you weren't scared you'd see that thing again.
That's what, I think it was Ethan's sister. She was like, why would you guys do that? And it was kind of like, we have to know. And I know that this was 2014 because it was after we had our experience at the cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
It was fresh in our head. And I'm like, well, let's do an EVP in the graveyard where we saw that thing. And a year later, we're like, yeah, let's do it. We never felt anything. We never saw anything. I mean, we would sit in that area and talk. Like, it was comfortable. So it definitely isn't, I don't think it was the area that had anything attached to it. I think it was something passing by. But that was a fun game too. We used to call it walking.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. It was 2014, good time. But that is my potential Skinwalker story. It still freaks me out thinking about it, but I haven't ran into it since, whatever it was.
That you know of.
But like I said, I got more other stuff. I got some more encounters, and I have even somebody's little idea on how to summon a Skinwalker.
No.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Do you want to do that, Charlie?
No.
Okay. But still, let's move on to the other encounters. Okay, so I got counter stories and then a how to summon one, which okay. I totally do not recommend doing.
Don't, even if it's completely made up, don't
yeah, it's, risk it's it. Like Bloody Mary, which is, it's actually way more severe than Bloody Mary, like way more severe. But at the same time, or like those cursed games we did.
Yeah,
like,
say, what's the gain in this?
Like, you know it, but you don't have to do it. It's like, it's or the catching a Kelpie, right? Like, you don't have to do it.
Well, that was to get into the SCP Society.
That's right. So this is from NativeAmericanLoveForever.com.
Oh, okay.
It's right, like cool. It's a blogger. Go check them out, actually. These are all going to be quotes. All read.
Okay, cool.
You ready?
I am
excited. This is their story. This is not how to summon.
This is, right, this is their story.
This is their encounter first.
Okay, all right. I'm ready.
Quote, honestly, when I began writing this article about the Navajo Skinwalkers on my blog, I really didn't believe in these sort of things until this happened.
That's how you know you're messed up.
I know from doing research for this blog that just talking about or even thinking about them can cause them become attracted to you. I wasn't even going to tell the story, but after a few weeks of thinking about it, I decided to go ahead and add this to the blog myself. The following story happened to me about 3/4 of the way through me writing this blog post when I decided to take a break from my work and go on a backpacking trip.
No.
So I recently encountered a spirit-like entity while overnight backpacking alone in Pole Mountain, Wyoming. I heard a very strange-sounding thing, not an animal I know of, right before sundown on my second night backpacking. I tried to mimic the sound I was hearing, and the thing, whatever it was, came right to my camp and started flying back and forth in front of me, screaming at me. I started to panic and pray out loud, calling on the name of Jesus. This was no animal I know of. It was completely invisible and kept screaming at me like a human being would. I could actually feel it fly over my head and in front of my face while continuing to scream loudly at me. I started adding all my logs on my fire because I thought that a larger fire might make it leave. I've never seen any wild forest animal that was not afraid of fire, and this thing was not afraid of it at all. Long story short, this entity-like thing made me leave my camp 20 minutes before sundown and followed me all the way up to the top of the ridge where a dirt road is and kept screaming at me and flying back and forth in front of me the entire time. I quickly ran with my backpack, unrolled sleeping bag and hammock to the dirt road at the top of the ridge. Once I got to the road, this flying entity stopped following me, and I fast walked 3 miles in pitch dark all the way back to my truck without stopping once. I've never experienced anything like this, and I've never been backpacking in the woods again. I was super scared and traumatized from this experience. So I'm assuming it's like taking on the form of an owl or
something,
a bird.
Yeah.
Some pterodactyl.
Oh my god, that is terrifying.
I wonder what the sound they heard that they mimicked. And then I want to know, were they saying screaming? They said it was like a flying entity, yeah. But it was screaming like almost like a human would scream. but it didn't say words, right? Like, it's not like it was screaming words
at it. I would imagine. There's an old Vine where it's people taking pictures on skis, and a guy screams past on skis in a giraffe costume, and he goes, what? I'm a giraffe!
Oh. What if it was like a screamo screamer at it? It's just like a Tim McElrath or like a Jeremy McKinnon just screaming at you from the cloud. Although I feel like that'd be a little less scary.
Yeah.
But we used to joke about, like, imagine like them as a dad screaming at their kid, but they're screaming at them like in screamo.
Yes, I remember that. Put your clothes away. But no, that story though is horrifying.
Yes.
I'm surprised they were able to tell it.
So now from the same blog, this is complete steps to summoning a Navajo skinwalker.
So this is how you summon it.
According to this person, I'm not saying this is true.
Don't do it.
There's six steps.
Six? That's it?
Yeah.
That's way less than I thought there was going to be.
Yep. Also, if there's anyone in the Navajo culture listening and heard that story, I would really like to hear your take on what I witnessed as well.
For sure.
Just to get your thoughts, because I really don't know. I really don't know.
Because why would it be here in Ashtabula,
yeah, County, exactly, Ohio? Exactly. But anyway, here is this blog's six steps to summoning your own skinwalker. Step one, wait until nightfall between the hours of 12 a.m. and 4 a.m., which is definitely the darkest time of the night.
Yeah.
Two, go out into either the woods, prairie, or a desert. Now, this is funny. Bring a flashlight, but don't use it. Just to tease yourself, I guess. It's your sacrifice. I don't know. Three, rub California sage ashes on your face and your chest.
Oh.
Four, begin to speak of the Navajo skinwalkers out loud. Ask it to show itself to you. Five, and I probably butchered this in the actual skinwalkers episode too, because I recognize it, but I apologize. Say ye Naldushi three times out loud, which means skinwalker in Navajo.
Well, please don't say that two more times today.
I'm not going to.
Okay, thank you.
Six, wait and see what happens next. And try not to show fear.
Yeah, try not to shit your pants.
That's it. It says good luck.
Yeah, goodbye. Yes.
So this is our second encounter from Cora, which I really like Cora.
Cora.
Q-U-O-R-A.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's like a Yahoo Answers.
I've never found anything useful in Quora. I like to read them, but never anything useful.
It always, it super fixates on what you search. So I get a bunch of like health and fitness, and this is vegetarian options and stuff like that. And how to be efficient with your time. Not so much about paranormal stuff. I had to search it out. But this is Encounter 2 from Quora. Quote, me and my family believe we're being stalked, hunted, haunted, and teased by one or more skinwalkers. This has been going on for years, on and off. We live on a farm, and these entities are making more frequent appearances than ever as of late. My kids are scared, as they've seen it several times, as well as myself and my husband. We've even believed there's one to be indoors from time to time. The glimpses I've seen at first glance appear to be a naked human, and it moves with extreme speed, faster than I'm able to keep an eye on. It peeks around corners of the outside of the house at my kids, makes human and animal cries at night. It's terrifying. We found doors unlocked and left open at night, and when we investigate, we just catch a glimpse of it. There's really no explanation for it. Living on a farm, we're used to the sounds of coyotes howling, barking, and different animals of prey screaming when attacked. The screams of what we're hearing lately are not the same sounds of coyote attacks. These are screams that sound human and blood-curdling. I've never heard anything like it before. I don't know if there's something that can be done to keep them at bay. I believe many of these evil entities come in and out of our dimension, but I would love to keep them out if it was possible. Unquote. That's an interesting one where it's not like a one-time experience. Pretty much every skinwalker story or encounter that I've read up until this point has been like, it crossed my path. Or a lot of them, as we knew from last one, which I try to actually stay away from, was I was driving and it was chasing me, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like starting on all fours and then it's on two legs running. A lot of it seems more like a cross paths thing, where this almost makes me feel like it's not a skinwalker just because of how it's like hunting or teasing. I don't know.
I would like to know the ethnicity of the family. I'm curious if that has any factor
in it. Or like their heritage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, if they are also Navajo? Yeah.
So, encounter three, this is our last encounter before we move on, is a long one, so bear with me here.
All right.
And this is from Ranker, the site.
Okay, hell yeah.
Which is like, was that scary? Here's the next one. Was that one scary? Like, they're all scary, Ranker.
I like Ranker. I have no problem with Ranker.
It's just funny because you read this, like, really creepy story.
Yeah.
And then it's like, was that scary? Let me know what you think.
Did you get spooked?
Yeah. That was the intent. Well, it did it. All right. Encounter three. Quote, me and my family had just finished up at the carnival at the Navajo Nation Fair, and we called it a night. The house was close enough where we could walk home in just 10 minutes. So we did. When we got there, it was about 9 at night, where we stayed up until about 2 a.m., catching up on family affairs and the local news. It was during that time I just decided to open my mouth and blurt out the question, hey, are skinwalkers real, guys? You shouldn't be speaking about that, my grandma said, with almost a disturbed yell in her voice. So she and my grandfather both decided to go to bed. After being scolded by my mom, one of my aunts chimed in with a very cautious tone and says, they're real, all right. Had a few start screaming outside my trailer in Farmington just a few nights ago. Your cousin had nightmares the whole night and woke up crying that morning. Not wanting to push the discomfort any further, we all decided just to go to bed. Now, the trailer home is pretty old, and it was a really nice night, so we slept with the windows open with screens to prevent bugs from coming in. Everyone had drifted off to sleep except me, because my mind was still going a million miles a minute about skinwalkers, and I wondered if I ever encounter one here on the reservation. That's when shit totally hit the fan. Just as I was settling in and finally getting relaxed for sleep, I started to hear something moving outside. I get up from the couch and start wandering over to the kitchen window. In the trailer, all of the rooms have the lights out, so the only visible light that can be seen is from a porch light out front. I was thankful for this because I told myself if it really was a skinwalker outside, then hopefully it wouldn't notice me seeing it. So I muster up the courage and take a quick scan of outside. From the front porch light, all I can see is the dusty ground and the vehicles that my family drove along with some old metal trash cans that stood beside the road. Looking for about a good 5 seconds, I wasn't able to see anything, so I was getting ready to turn around and walk back to bed thinking it was just a stray cat or something like that. Only having taken 2 steps, I hear what sounded like a distorted scream coming from outside, but definitely close by. With fear rising, I look outside again, and there I see it. A coyote-like figure was staring at my direction from behind the cars, just outside the reach of the porch light. Only it looked wrong, and it gave off an evil vibe just from seeing it. It was gray with disheveled hair and a horrific orange-red soft glow coming from its eyes. I noped the hell out and ran back to the bedroom. It was at this moment I began to also notice an awful stench in the air that smelled just like rotting meat. I started trying to wake up my mom, who was like, it's almost 3 a.m., what do you want? I immediately began in a shaking voice, there is something scary outside. Then she said, now annoyed obviously because I woke her up, it's probably just a stray animal or something. It's the res. Animals wander around all the time. She obviously wasn't getting the drift of what I was saying, so I screamed, there's some Blair Witch Project shit going on outside, Mom. That got her attention. What the hell are you talking about? She said. Then we heard it. The thing outside started making more of its dreadful-like screams and started what sounded like thrashing outside on the ground. Do you hear that? That's what I'm talking about. So both her and I got back up, looked out the window, and the coyote thing was making its way to the door. It walked with an odd limp, and it dragged its back legs as if it was handicapped. We could hear it start scratching against the door, and it made this odd, muffled moaning sound. My mom went and got my dad, and both started shouting in Navajo, all sorts of words telling the thing to go away, saying that it's not welcome here. Well, all this commotion was enough to get the rest of the trailer up as they came out into the hallway. The only thing my mom did was turn to them and said, Skinwalker. while proceeding to point to the door, while the noises were still happening. Apparently, they already knew exactly what to do, as my grandfather got out a handgun from the drawer and a bag of ashes. He coated a few bullets and loaded them into the gun and went straight to the door. Yelling out more Navajo that was too fast for me to comprehend, he swung open the door and fired twice. Nothing. The thing managed to escape before my grandpa could put a bullet in it. "That's the fastest one I've ever seen," said my grandpa. Next thing you know, my aunt and my parents are freaking out about what the hell just happened, saying things like, "What if it comes back tomorrow and it saw us? Does that mean that we're targets now?" Afterwards, my grandparents calmed everyone down, myself included, saying that we'll be fine and then we all should just go to bed. When morning came, my grandparents called one of their neighbors and explained to them what happened. Apparently, one of them was a medicine man who used to partake in the Navajo ceremonies used for healing and curing sickness, and he came over and blessed each family member in the grounds outside. Unquote. Was that scary? Thanks, Ranker.
That grandfather. Wow. That's so cool. He is so cool.
That was such a good narrative.
Yes.
Like, it had bits of humor.
Yeah.
It had creepiness. It had the...
Really well written.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. And so good job, Ranker. Or the author who found it and then put it on Ranker.
Yes. Yeah.
But with that, let's move on to the discussion. All right, so now is the time that we like to thank all of our new patrons, because your support allows us to do awesome things like buy better equipment and things like that. I don't know if you can hear that our mics sound a little bit better, but they should. But we'd like to thank Kayla and Zach. You are our newest patrons. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you everybody on Patreon for supporting. As always, we have quizzes, we have director's cuts, we watch horror movies together on Netflix at the same time, and then we talk about it. We do Google Hangouts, where we literally just get together all on our computers and our smart devices, and we just chit-chat about who knows what. Charlie, you were like raising your hand.
And there are quizzes, because this episode is attached to a quiz.
That's true. Did I say quiz or no?
You did not.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely have those. We definitely have those. Also, just to put this out there again, if you are a member of our Patreon for 3 months in the dedicated tier, you do get an exclusive shirt that you can only get by being a member. You cannot buy it. You can be like, "Guys, what if I give you $500? DM us.
I will be interested.
We'll be interested. But other than that, you literally cannot buy this shirt. You can only get it for free by being a member of our dedicated tier. But with that, let's move on to the discussion. All right, Charlie, the people want to know, do you find my experience believable?
Unbelievable. No, you're a fucking liar.
No, okay, but for real, you were patient. You were kind and quiet. You let me tell my story with minimal interruption. We both know I would not be able to do that. So very commendable. But now, Charlie, I know we've talked about it a lot, so it might feel redundant to you, but obviously people haven't heard us talk about it. And I know the story resonates with you and you get creeped out by it.
I do. Every time I do.
So give me your thoughts and give the listeners your thoughts on that experience.
So I've driven past that part of the road before. It's unassuming. I would say that. It's not a place where you would imagine this horror to potentially take place.
Even the cemetery is not that bad. Or I call it a graveyard because it's so small.
Yeah, it's just there. It's a quaint little Ohio town, to be honest. My biggest critique or question is, why would a skinwalker be in Ohio?
That is exactly my concern. And that's why I'm completely open to suggestions on what else it could have been.
Yeah, but I believe you and Ethan, I mean, you guys go out late. You used to go out late all the time. So I know that happened. Yeah. You definitely got Taco Bell, because that happened all the time too.
And just to be clear, we were in a very conscious state of mind. I can't speak for Ethan. I don't smoke, never have. So
he didn't either at that time.
At that time, no, he didn't. So we were, the only thing we could have potentially been was a little tired and a little bit up on that Baja Blast caffeine.
Yeah. Which was a huge, huge subject in our Discord for like a minute.
Yeah. That and Pokemon. Seriously, if you guys like Pokemon, go to our Discord. So let me ask you this. If someone was able to confidently be like, there's 100% chance it was not a skinwalker, what would be your number two that you think it might be?
Oh, Wendigo.
Isn't that even more not from here?
It's Canada. It's across the smaller pond.
The lake, the smaller pond.
Yeah.
Wendigo. I guess,
that
you know what?
That was always my second option.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever told you that.
We've never talked about it.
But I would always figure if it wasn't a skinwalker, then it was a Wendigo.
Or it was an alien. No, listen, when I was playing that game that I was talking about where we would walk from my house to that cemetery or graveyard and back.
Yeah.
Which one time, oh my God, anybody who's out late when you're like up to no good, but you're not doing anything wrong, it doesn't matter. When you're going back home and the sky starts getting a little blue and you hear birds chirping and you haven't slept yet,
yes.
There's very few feelings grosser than that.
Yeah. I remember you I forgot what you said about it. It's like you know you messed up.
It's just bad. It's just you're still awake. You're out. You're not close to home, and you see a little bit of light. You know, it's just, yeah. And you know, like dumb shows like the George Lopez show are on TV.
I like the George Lopez show.
Or Reba. No, it's just.
Are you kidding me? Are you talking shit about Reba right now? Yeah, Reba's the best. Reba's a hardworking single mom.
I liked Van, but anyway, it's just what I was saying was on that playing that game with Ethan while we were walking to the graveyard was the first time I ever saw a UFO. And I'm not saying it's alien. I'm not saying it was extraterrestrial. I'm saying it was a light in the sky that moved irregularly in a shot. It went from slow, 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 fast, not like a shooting star or anything like that.
And you were dropping everything this episode. You're dropping your skinwalker experience. You're dropping your UFO experience.
I got nothing left. I don't know. Charlie, I don't know if we're going to make it to 200. So I got to get all this shit out now. You need to have some spooky experiences now. So that you can talk about them on episode 200.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see.
Try and make it work.
I mean, of course, I give this a believable.
Right.
I've heard the story since it happened, or since you told me about it, and every time it gives me chills.
So that is again my potential skinwalker experience, along with a couple more encounters. I told you they were coming. It took about half a year or more. But they're here. I just, like we were saying earlier, I'm just fascinated by it, probably in part due to bias of potentially experiencing one.
Yeah.
But even the whole idea of it, like...
Or like a train wreck. You can't look away from it.
Yeah. It's just the whole idea of like a witch doctor doing all this like spells to become this evil entity. And it's just, there's just so much to it that even if you told me what it was, face value, I feel like I'd have to go unbelievable. And I remember struggling with that during that episode where I'm like, I'm going believable. But
I don't know why.
It doesn't feel right for me.
The amount of malice for me is what makes it interesting.
Right. It's not like it's not like a Dover demon. It's not like a Fresno Nightcrawler where it's just something unusual that is just passing by. It's like it has intent and it's not good. It's like demonic. It's like whenever we talk about a possession or something with demons. It's so just like
bad.
A demon doesn't bad. Just happen to accidentally run into you and hurt you. It's like taunting you.
Yeah.
Bad juju. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening. Again, if you're interested in our Discord, check it out. You can go to our link tree or go to our Instagram bio link and go there. I don't know if there's any other way to get it. It's like on our website, but I don't know if you can actually join it.
If you're desperate for our Discord and you can't find it, you could always just message us.
Just message your link. Yeah, there's a bunch of different channels on there. Pokemon's...
It's popping.
It's popping. We can talk about like horror movies or games.
A lot of other stuff is popping too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still Ferret Allen, if you see me in there. Shout out Jarrett Allen, who just got injured for the Cavaliers.
Rip.
Thinking about you. He's not dead, just injured. He actually left the game because of a quad injury, and then they found out he had a broken finger when he got taken out.
Wow. JK, he actually left to join our Discord.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's talking about Pokemon. But also, want to shout this out again and say at the top, we are doing a 100-episode t-shirt giveaway. It's our neon logo. So head to our Instagram, check it out. You have until Saturday to do what the post says to enter. There's no money involved. We'll ship it literally anywhere in the world. So go check that out because it's an awesome shirt that's withstood the test of time. 2 years. 100 episodes, which is crazy, dude. Did not expect this.
I didn't either.
But it's amazing. We appreciate all the support.
We wouldn't be here without you.
No, we really wouldn't. Well, we might because we're dedicated. Our old podcast didn't do shit. And we were going to keep that going until we did this pivot. So we might
still we're never going to change.
It would be a lot harder to justify the time spent away from work and family if nobody was listening. But
right.
And it's funny because, you know, I just want to give this small aside before we peace out because we kind of mentioned we talked a little bit about it at the end. It happened during COVID, right? Which there are a lot of podcasts that happened during COVID. I like to not necessarily associate us fully with COVID podcasters because we did start in 2019. It was just a different project.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this very vivid memory of, so our launch date was July 7th, 2020, and July 4th was right around that time. And because of COVID times, everybody was just lighting off their own fireworks. So I have this very vivid memory, and I couldn't walk my dog because she could not do with all the fireworks. But it started during the day at like evening, like 7. And by the time I got back to my house, it was like 9. So it was dark. It was like a 2-hour walk. And we recorded UFO Chase to the Pennsylvania border, mm-hmm. Mandela Effect, and Slender Man as a Tulpa at the same time, same day.
Yes.
Which we thought we were going to do. We're like, we can just, you know, punch these things out. No problem. Now we're doing 4 to 5,000 word documents that we're reading our notes on and stuff, which is better. It's better quality, but they were 25-minute episodes back then. But I just have this vivid memory of like the world's changing. Everything's shut down. And we're starting this new project. No idea how it's going to go. No idea how it's going to be received. And I was listening to those three edits. UFO Chase, Mandela Effect, and Slender Man, as I'm walking around my neighborhood while all these people at home are in their front yard lighting off fireworks. It's just, it's a memory I'm never going to forget because it's just combining all these different things mm-hmm. into one. And it's crazy to think, like, one, that that's almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And just to see kind of where it's come.
And we get messages all the time about people thanking us for doing what we do. And I just want to say thank you for letting us.
Seriously, all the listeners, the words, the reviews, the DM messages, sharing. It really means so much to Charlie and I. I know we say it all the time, but we still screenshot everything. Mm-hmm. Anytime somebody hits us up, leaves us a review like that, we're always screenshotting each other. We still don't believe it because, you know, anybody can podcast. and time is valuable. I think the more you work and the more time you spend doing things you don't want to do, the more you realize, you know, how valuable the time that you have. That's free. And I know a lot of people listen to us during work. So you're two birds, one stone. So good job. But for the people that have free time and they still choose to listen to us and give us your ear, it really does mean a lot. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Here's to the next 100 episodes. And as always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are. Meow, meow, meow.